Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
They say don't ever follow children. So we're going to join them in and let them sing with us so y'all will keep happy about it. Choir, if you would, come on.
child is born, a son is given, but Christmas isn't just about his infancy, it's also about his deity. It was about his grace and his mercy and his love toward us. As a child, I was taught that Jesus was born and died for me, and then at the age of 9, with his amazing grace, he saved me. He has been my help and my strength so many times in my life.
Amen.
In my deepest despair, he's been wonderful. He's been a counselor. He's been mighty God. He's my everlasting Father. He's my Prince of Peace. He's my Comforter, my King of Kings, and my Lord of Lords. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He's my Savior today, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Wonderful, counselor, mighty God. Merry Christmas. Up until a few weeks ago, it had a different meaning. It was about Christmas trees and presents and friends and family. Now I know the real meaning of Christmas. The good Lord saved me about 2 months ago and changed my life.
Yes, sir.
And now I know the real meaning of Christmas. Jesus coming down from heaven.
Amen.
To be born as a baby.
Amen.
To die on a cross for my sins. I praise the Lord. He left an empty tomb. He rose. And his blood was used to cover my sin.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what Christmas is about. He gave his life for me. What a present. That's what Christmas really means.
Just hide.
Well, there you have it. A small attempt to show what the real meaning of Christmas is. A birth, but more importantly, a death and an empty tomb. Bill Kane said it perfectly a few weeks ago when he was asked, "What does the Christ of Christmas mean to you?" He simply said, "Hope." Hope for the lost and dying world. That hope for me is really sweet. Because I have a lot of family that doesn't know the Lord. And my hope is that they do. Also, hope for a Christian who may be struggling in some desperate situation. Or for the youth worker or for the teacher that only wants the best for the children that's in their care. And they only want them to live their best for the Lord. And for the pastor that wants to lift up his congregation and to lead souls to Christ. My prayer is that if you don't know the Lord, that you get that hope. So, let's shout it from the rooftops. Let's praise and let's lift our voices. Ring the bells. For Emmanuel has come, because hope is here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me squeeze by you guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of them rang their bells till their bells fell off. That's good. That's all right, guys. Just, if they fell off, you just let them roll. Is that good, folks? Let's just give a choir a hand. I don't believe you could have asked for a better program anywhere. God's been good to us at Westside Baptist Church. I want to thank so much. I appreciate you that are our guests today at Westside. Many have been before and are here the second or third or fourth time. But some of you, your first time ever being here. And I just want to tell you, thank you, moms and dads that came to see these young people perform. And they're such a blessing to us. We thank you. Absolutely. We appreciate you allowing them to come to church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and allowing us to minister to them. It is our privilege and our purpose to do so. So thank you, parents. And God bless you. And I think we need to give the parents a hand. For allowing. Absolutely. In Luke chapter 2, some things have already happened. The angel had come to Mary and then to Joseph and made a proclamation that a Savior would be born. And Mary, not knowing a man, as you can imagine, it must have been quite perplexing for her. But yet she was told that she would give birth, that the Holy Spirit of God would fall upon her, and eventually she'd give birth to the Savior of the world. At this point in the story, Joseph and Mary were on their way to Bethlehem. They were going because the IRS was after them. It was time to pay the taxes. And so there they went to Bethlehem to do so. And I hope you know the story. When they got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. There was not a hotel room available anywhere. They had nowhere to go. And so I mean this reverently when I say they ended up in a barn. I was thinking about what to speak on this morning. And what I found, we'll just wait till the program's over here. And I love cell phones, don't you? I hate cell phones, don't you? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you'll give me your attention for a few moments, please. If we could do that, I'd appreciate it. But what had happened, they were already in Bethlehem. They couldn't find a place. And once again, they ended up in a barn. Now, you know the story. Earlier in chapter 2, we find that an angel of the Lord came to some men called the shepherds. And there that night, they were watching their flock. But in verse 16, and I guess this may be where I take my text, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Lord Jesus, I pray we'll glorify your name as it's already been glorified in song. I pray, Father, we'll glorify it in your word. May your loving yet convicting power fall upon the congregation. Father, would you meet the need of the saint and the sinner this day in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So here we have Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They were in Bethlehem. The other day I heard something that started me to thinking. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the things that were not in Bethlehem. On this day, there were no Christmas cards in Bethlehem. There were shepherds watching their flock by night, but there were no Christmas cards in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but we've got Christmas cards. Here at the church, we give them one to another, and we go home and we tape them up on the wall and around the doorways, and we have Christmas cards everywhere. But on this Christmas, there were no Christmas cards in Bethlehem. I tell you something else. We ended our program ringing bells, but I want to say this, that this night in Bethlehem, there were no sleigh bells ringing. Not in Bethlehem on this night. But I will say this, I believe there were angels singing in Bethlehem this night. And I thought about this, you know, there were no handmade or store-bought gifts being wrapped in Bethlehem on that night. But our baby Jesus, he was being wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem on this night, fell from the portals of heaven into the manger and wrapped in little strips of linen, tight. You know, the little strips of linen really refer to the poverty which he was born in. Our Lord and Savior could have been born in a palace, but he felt the need and believed and was right that he must be born in a barn, not wrapped in silk and fine cloth, but just linen. That says something about our Lord Jesus. So there were no Christmas cards in Bethlehem. There were no sleigh bells in Bethlehem. There were no handmade or store-bought gifts in Bethlehem, but I want to tell you, this gift from heaven came tightly wrapped in linen. The other night, we were coming up through town, and there's an old house that somebody took and remodeled, and so everything they do is kind of themed around the 40s and 50s. Their decorations, no matter what season, and now it's Christmas season. And we went by that house, and they had those, remember, some of you are old enough, most old enough to remember the big bulb colored lights we used to put on the tree and outside. And man, they were about this big, you know. And they've got those all over this house. I mean, they're right, I mean, the era that they're celebrating is there. I mean, it's nice. And you drive through Noonan. Matter of fact, I know my family, they're wanting to go out riding and looking at lights. But I want to tell you, in Bethlehem, there were no lights on Christmas in Bethlehem. But that night in Bethlehem, there was a light. It was the light of the world. And he began to flicker there in Bethlehem. He hadn't quite shown his full hand, but there was a flicker. I like it because Jesus says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And you say, well, okay, Jesus is the light of the world. So now what? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Because you have to look at this word and understand that it's not just talking about Noonan, Georgia. But Jesus Christ, the one that laid in the manger there in Bethlehem, was the light of the world. And that world means the light of the adorning, the light of the order, the light of the governments, the light of the arrangement of the stars, the light of the heavenly host. You say, oh, we look up through the sky and we see billions upon billions of stars flickering. Where does the light come from? Jesus is the light. He is the light of the ornaments of heaven. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the universe. And by the way, these definitions are taken from the Greek, not from some secular dictionary. So this is Bible, ladies and gentlemen. This is the depth of what God is the light of. He is the light of the earth. He is the light of the inhabitants of the earth. He is the light of men. He is the light of the human race. Now, you ready for this? He is the light of the ungodly multitude. He is the light of the whole mass of men alienated from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we were alienated from God. There was the law, and we were to keep this law and that law and this other law. And if we kept all 600 and more laws, then we could earn our way to heaven, if I may say. But you and I are not possible, because if we kept those laws, we would be perfect. And there's none righteous. No, not one of us. And so God is the light of the men, Jesus Christ, the one wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in this manger. He was the light of the alienated men from God. It's only through him that we'll ever truly be saved. You can't work your way to heaven. Stop trying to be good. I'm not saying that Christians should not strive to be good Christians. I'm not suggesting that we not strive to be lawful citizens. But I am suggesting to you that the only way to true righteousness is through this little baby Jesus, the light of the world, the light that draws us into the arms of God rather than alienates us. He said, I'm the light of the world. Get this. He said, I'm the light of the advantages. I want to tell you there are advantages to knowing Jesus. I've seen the good and the bad. I've seen people that were good citizens, people that were good men or good women that came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior because they realized they needed him. I've seen the drug addict and the drunk and the prostitute. I've seen them all come to know Jesus. The advantage is that 1 second before Jesus is accepted into your heart, you die. If you die, you'd go to hell. The advantage is knowing Jesus, that if you die, you'd go to heaven. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. The advantage to knowing this baby that's in a manger, this man that lights up the advantages, he'll take your life and turn it around. You say, I'm scraping bottom. He'll turn your life around. My life is inside out and upside down. He'll turn your life around. You don't understand what He'll turn your life around. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. Oh, preacher, I have a desire to do bad things. You give your heart to God. You give your heart to Jesus, and He'll place in you a desire to do good things. He is the light of pleasures and the light of advantages. You say, well, what kind of pleasures is He the light of? I tell you, the first pleasure that comes to my heart, comes to my mind, is coming to church. You become a born-again Christian. You have a desire to want to come and be a part of all this. You know, this was good today, but can I let you in on a secret? We do this every Sunday. That's right. We may not have the Christmas bows hanging and the so forth and the decorations, but we're constantly celebrating this baby that was born in a manger. Yes, there were no cards, there were no sleigh bells, there were no gifts in Bethlehem. There were no colored lights in Bethlehem on this night. But I want to say to you, there was Jesus, the light of the world. I tell you, this is better and gets deeper, but I'm moving along. I want to tell you something else they didn't have in Bethlehem. And this is a sad thing. They didn't have any mistletoe hanging over their doorway in Bethlehem. That's right. No sugar for these guys. I tell you, I was a teenager. I didn't understand what the mistletoe was for, I guess, because Mama would hang it up and I'd kick it and kick it till it'd fall off. Well, I tell you, you get a little older and you get married. Honey, pucker up, mistletoe's up. That's right. There was no mistletoe in Bethlehem, but I want to tell you, our Master was in a manger in Bethlehem. And this Master was going to soon exhibit His deep love and His affection for us. I tell you, I like what Matthew chapter 23, verse 10 says. For one is your Master. And what are the next two words? Listen. Even Christ. The one. The Master, our Master, was in the manger that night in Bethlehem. You know what I like about that term, Master? I looked it up in the Greek. You know what it means? Power to control. He's got the power to control your life. And He does. Christian, get out and do something you shouldn't do. Get out in the world. And God will beat you to death until you look to Him. That's right. He will control us. He expects our obedience. Lost person, He controls your life. You say, oh, preacher, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm doing what I want to do. No, He designed it today. That December 17th, 2017, that you may sit in a pew and listen to the gospel and song, that you may sit in the pew and listen to some preacher that doesn't have... I've got two brain cells and one's waving bye-bye to the other. I'm telling you, I'm not that bright. But God, in His divine power and control, has set you here under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's given you a chance to turn away from the world. He's given you a chance to turn away from sin. He's given you a chance to make you a new creature in Him. He will save your soul. He's willing to take you. Your destination is that horrible place called hell. I know, Brother Osteen's not going to talk about hell, but Brother Midget is. It is a terrible, horrible place, this place called hell. The Bible calls it a place where the worm dieth not, where the souls of men that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ die not. There they spend eternity because they have rejected such a holy, holy Jesus and his salvation. You now know what some of you might be thinking. Preacher, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell, God's not going to send you there. I've told you already that Jesus is in control. And he has sent you here to this church on this day to hear the gospel of Christ. You've been given a way out. And if you die and go to hell, you have sent yourself there, not the Lord Jesus. I love our Lord. He's in control. But you know what else? He's also a gentleman. You resist him. You yank away from him one too many times. And he steps back. And he says, you go your way. He's our master. He's in control. And I love it. And this day in Bethlehem, he was in a manger. I tell you something else I like about the fact there was no mistletoe in Bethlehem. But there was a mystery in a manger in Bethlehem. I want to say to you that this mystery would be presented eventually in a way, in the way of salvation to a lost and dying world. In Mark chapter 4, it tells us this, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Listen, the mystery is the secrets of heaven wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And he was all there in Bethlehem. I tell you something I found. I thought about this. My wife, every year, look, I just don't do a lot of decorating, okay? Lisa puts up the tree and decorates, and she asked me basically to do one thing, and that's place the wreaths on the windows of the house outside. Now, that sounds okay, but if you live in a two-story house, it can become complicated if you're not smart enough to use the tilt-in windows to put them on. But I want to tell you something. Every year, I get those crazy things. She gets them out, and I put them up, and they come with these suction cups. You know what you got to do, those stupid suction cups, don't you? You get to lick those things, and you stick them to that window, and they hang. This year, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you just hang tight. This year, I was short some suction cups for some reason. I couldn't find them. I found some that had never been opened, but they must have been like 20 years old. And when I opened them, they were all ooey, gooey, and sticky. And I said, ooh, yuck, but I used them anyway. And so I came home that morning. I put them up, came home that afternoon, and they were all laying on the roof of the house. The wreaths had not stuck. That's my story about the wreaths. You do with it what you want to. But let me tell you, there were no wreaths. There were no wreaths up in Bethlehem on that night. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. There was the wreath. You listen to this. I was reading a book, and a guy by the last name of Miller referred to our Lord Jesus Christ as the wreathed one. I said, what did he mean by the wreathed one? What did he mean? And then I realized as I continued to read that he was referring to the wreath or the crown of thorns that was placed on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was crucified and beaten for your sins and my sins, he was rewarded a wreath, a crown of thorns that was shoved on his head. So we had not the wreaths, but we had the wreathed one lying in the manger in Bethlehem. I tell you something else. There were no reindeer landing in Bethlehem that night, But I will say this, the Redeemer of mankind landed in power and in truth. That he could grow and one day die on the cross for your sins. He came in power and truth. He could have stayed in heaven, but yet he came. And he came for one. He came for one purpose. Don't you believe the commercials? You know what they say? Christmas. A time for family. You know, whenever God's involved, it always brings people together. So I'm not against family. I want to state that real quickly. But Christmas, the reason for Christmas was not to bring families together. Now, that's just the residue. That's the evidence of the power of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, he came. He was born. He was there in Bethlehem. And he was here for one reason. That you could be born again. He came. He came for one reason. To fulfill his Father's wish. And that was to die on the cross. To be the sacrifice. The lamb. Without blemish. To be crucified on the cross. That his blood could be shed for you. And that that blood could cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen, preacher. You say, well, this is Christmas service and we're supposed to have a short, sweet, and pleasant. Hey, this is sweet and this is pleasant. It's only bad news if you reject Christ. This is good news. This is good news. I tell you something else. There was no Christmas trees in Bethlehem. Just the one who would hang on Calvary's tree was in Bethlehem. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, For it is written, cursed is everyone. Here the one, this is referring to Jesus. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. No Christmas trees in Bethlehem, but the one who would die on Calvary's tree for our sins was there in his place, in a manger. I tell you something else, and I'm closing. There was no winter wonderland in Bethlehem, but there were shepherds worshiping. I like what it says in Luke chapter 22. Chapter 2, verse 20. And the angels, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told. Hey, they were already told. Jesus is over in a manger. Why don't you go take a look? And so we see him in verse 16 taking a look. And they saw the Savior. They saw our master. They saw the one who would eventually die on the cross for our sins. The one that would conquer death. The one that would resurrect. The shepherds saw it. And because of it, the Bible says that they were glorifying and praising God. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know what all the hype is about. I don't know why people get so excited when they were singing a while ago. This is why we're excited. This is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus that, yes, was born in a manger, laid in a cow trough. Call it what it is, a stinking cow trough. That was his crib. That's where he laid, wrapped in humble cloth. And he was born. He was born to die. Good news. I wouldn't serve a God that couldn't beat death. So I've got some good news for you. Our Jesus, the Jesus of the Word of God, he did. He was there in Bethlehem. He did grow up. He did minister the last 3.5 years of his life. Yes, he did heal the blind. He did heal the lame. He did heal the deaf. He did heal the leper. He did all those things. And thank God he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. But ladies and gentlemen, he proved that he had the power to forgive you of your sins when he resurrected in victory 3 days later. I don't know about you. That's the kind of God I want to serve. You say, preacher, are you done? Maybe. I'm going to paraphrase something for you that I was going to read, but frankly, I just didn't think it fit. But we're talking about the greatness of Jesus. This world's got nothing to offer you. Can I give you an example of what this world has to offer you in the way of religion? The former Google and Uber engineer Anthony Levandowski. He has created a new religion called the Way of the Future. And it is the worship of artificial intelligence. Folks, this is the same guy that has taken part in these autonomous cars driving without people in it. He's involved in that as well. He says, let me tell you one thing he says. I got to share this with you. He says, listen, he said, humans still have rights. Now, this is after he has implemented his religion. He said, humans should still have rights even though I'm in charge. I think we better watch this guy. And by the way, this is just, well, I ain't going to tell you that part. One of the lawyers involved in this says the new AI, which is the Artificial Intelligence Church, doesn't believe in a supernatural power, instead believes in the idea that everything can be solved with science. This is just the same old humanism in a different wrapper. They're preaching this to our kids in school already. They also claim, are you ready for this? That machines have rights, including the right to become super intelligent. These lame brains will go out and murder an unborn baby because it has no rights in their pathetic view, but yet they're saying a machine has a right. That's what the world has to offer you. Just another laminated, fabricated piece of garbage that they call religion. The truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ said. Do you know him this morning? You know what I like about these shepherds? They started praising God. And that last verse says they went out. They went out and told what they'd seen. You know what I enjoyed about today? Everything. But I truly enjoyed the testimony. Shepherds going out, telling what they've seen. Brother Doug telling what he saw when he met Jesus. Miss Vicky telling you what she saw when she met Jesus. Some of you Christians need to be like these shepherds. You need to be out telling people what you've seen and what you've heard. Lost person, please don't leave here today without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Please let us, please let us take God's word and show you how you can be saved. I'm going to ask, where's Miss Lomax? Would you come, Miss Lomax? And I'm going to ask you to stand, please. And this is the invitation. If you don't know what an invitation is, please let's stand. If you don't know what an invitation is, we're going to sing a song. And while we're singing, if you believe the Lord has touched your heart in any way, would you come forward and bow at the altar and just give whatever's on your mind and heart to God? Christian, if you want to take it up another notch, if you want to do what the shepherds did and maybe be a little more bold about your salvation, this is the place to start. But I want to truly invite you this morning that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As Miss Lomax sings, the altar's open. If you come forward, somebody will meet you here and show you how you can know this Jesus, the one that laid in the manger in Bethlehem. Go, Miss Sister. The altar's open, folks. Know Jesus this morning.
No colored lights, no mistletoe, no reindeer, no sleigh bells ringing, winter wonderland, no ribbons, cards, or bows, no watchful eyes to close, no Santa in the town of Bethlehem. But shepherd boys inquire expectation, journey to a place where wise men go, and mankind did behold in a stable by the God of ages wrapped in swaddling clothes. Away in a manger, no crib for a baby.
You know Jesus this morning. Amen.